You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
Hi, Sam.
Hi, Stuart. How are you?
I'm good. It's lovely to talk to you for the first time this week.
Yeah, you as well. You having a good day?
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's a bit overcast and it's exam time, so you know.
Oh, I see. Kind of stressful time,
though. Yeah, could be better, but you know, how's everything going in Adelaide?
Good. It's actually really sunny.
Oh, I'm very jealous. Let's talk about this new centre in Adelaide to help tackle Australia's food waste problem. What's that all about?
Yeah, so South Australia is kind of known for leading the way in sustainability, and this is another way that they're doing it. So they've got this Fight Food Waste Cooperative Research Centre. It's a mouthful, so we'll call it CRC. So CRC has announced that Australians spend $20 billion worth of unused food a year. So that adds up to Australians wasting 40% of their food, and that's households spending, wasting $4,000 worth of unused food annually. Yeah, and so in numbers, that's 3.1 million tonnes in weight, and then for commercial and industrial sector, that's another 2.2 million tonnes.
So is that a lot, to put it into perspective?
Yeah. So that number, that $20 billion, is just showing how much of just not only wasted money, but wasted food, which also means, this was something shocking that I found out, that food that's going into the landfill, it's rotting and it's emitting nearly six times the amount of greenhouse gases as the global aviation industry.
Oh my gosh. That doesn't sound too good.
Insane. No, it's quite crazy.
So how's this going to operate? Do we know yet?
Well, so far they're looking into ways to kind of reduce consumer culture and change behaviours on how we buy food, and also trying to ensure that people, instead of just throwing perfectly good food out, instead donating it. And I think they want people to donate to the research centre as well, so it could double as a food bank in sorts.
Right, and the chief executive, I think it was, of the CRC, reckoned that the current amount of food wastage was having an impact on the country's reputation. What does that sort of mean?
Well, I guess it's showing, in terms of reputation, it's just incredibly wasteful, and it's just a shame that people who have the ability to have access to food don't really think about it. It shows that Australians are quite careless when it comes to bare necessities that so many people around the world don't have access to.
But I guess it's a global issue in many ways. It's been, I mean, Western world at least.
Yes, definitely.
Now, moving on to something a little bit more sombre, that is Prime Minister Scott Morrison's national apology to Australian survivors and victims of child sex abuse. What provoked this?
Well, this has been a long time coming. So it's been over 5 years, and former Prime Minister Julia Gillard kind of called on a Royal Commission into institutional child sex abuse. And over 5 years, there's been 60 public hearings and 8,000 private sessions where people have kind of voiced their experiences. So he's just said, you know, enough is enough. We need to listen to you. We need to apologise that we have failed you and we haven't listened to you for so long.
What do you think the most powerful moment of the speech was?
In my opinion, it was when he finished up his speech saying, "I believe you, we believe you, your country believes you." And just speaking on a wider scale at the moment, within areas like the Me Too movement, recently in the US with the Kavanaugh experience, people are sometimes just not believed and not listened to, and that can just be the hardest part.
And I think we've got a clip of that moment.
"I believe you. We believe you. Your country believes you."
And now, as you mentioned, this was all started by Julia Gillard, the former Prime Minister. She was present there as well. Was there a positive reaction to her being there?
I believe so, yeah. People were incredibly emotional because she was the driving force behind it. people were thanking her, especially across Twitter I saw as well. Just generally, yeah, positive emotions from people who really were really touched that someone could do this for them and create the safe space to be apologised to.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, it's such a relevant and important thing at the moment. Were there other MPs present, or were there other MPs that had a role in this?
Yeah, so Liberal MP Steve Irons, he actually helped write the apology. So he grew up with survivors of sexual and violent child abuse, and he wanted to ensure that people realise that this kind of abuse leaves survivors and victims with a lifetime of consequences, and healing doesn't just come from speeches. So he wanted to ensure that it was done in a tasteful, appropriate and meaningful way.
And there were some survivors present at the apology, weren't there?
Yes, there was. I don't know her name, her full name, but I know her as Katie, and she was a 96-year-old, and she was abused when she was living in the orphanage. And she's the oldest known survivor of this institutional abuse, and she actually went on to say that the apology was beautiful and sincere, and it gave her some closure. And there's a beautiful picture of her embracing Scott Morrison.
It's nice to think that people like her now, like you said, there's a bit of closure. There's a bit of hope that things like this won't be allowed to happen anymore.
Yeah, and there was another person there called Wes Hartley, and he attended the apology, and he was a victim as well. And he's a minister now for the Uniting Church. And he went on to say, whilst the apology is a landmark in Australian history, there's still the problem of cultural denial.
Mm.
So he went on to say it's not just the churches that turn a blind eye, but the police and institutions, because they don't want to kind of be associated or sullied in this kind of situation. And he says that the culture of denial needs to change.
And the Prime Minister acknowledged that there's a lot more to do. Do we know what is going to happen now?
Well, there's this term being floated around called a redress scheme, and that was established in response to the Commission to ensure victims and survivors of child sexual abuse have access to compensation for suffering. So not necessarily kind of stopping any of this from happening again, although that's what Morrison wants. He didn't really delve into that too much. But in terms of this redress scheme, it's 3 months in and only a handful of payments have been made, and the priority is for elderly people and ill people, and hopefully they'll continue to be compensated and they won't have to wait so long.
And finally, the Royals are about to hit New Zealand after this weekend, but Harry and Meghan have just been in Australia.
Yes, so the Duke and Duchess are on a 16-day tour across Australia, Fiji, Tonga and New Zealand for the Invictus Games, and whilst they were in Australia, they also went to Fraser Island to look at sustainable tourism. So yeah, it's quite an exciting time for people in Australia who love the Royals and love seeing them walk around and get to know Australian people.
I believe Harry had quite an important interaction with a war veteran in Sydney.
Yeah, so he actually spoke with the widow of a veteran called Gwen Shern. So her husband took his own life earlier this year. His name was Peter Caffey, and he served in Cambodia, Afghanistan and Iraq. And Gwen and Harry climbed Sydney Harbour Bridge together, and she felt that it was an important moment in her life because he was able to give her some form of closure, and also she felt listened to because he raised the conversation around covering mental health through Invictus Games.
That's really cool. And I think the Invictus Games, from what I've gathered, seem to be serving a really important purpose in terms of giving veterans a new purpose, I think, in their life, from what I've seen anyway.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Sam. Lovely to talk with you.
You as well.
And I think you'll be back with Laura next week.
Okay, wonderful. Awesome. Well, thanks so much.
That was Neighbourhood Watch. Ripper.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.